Welcome to Throwing Light. This is episode 18, My Daughter, the Atheist. So the heart of it is that this is our first interview on the Throwing Light podcast, and it's with my kid. So I'm very excited, and yeah, I think it's going to be very cool. She's a powerhouse. She's seriously one of the coolest 15-year-olds I have ever met. She is an artist, and she's actually a really good writer. She has been writing this, it's almost like a novel series. So the break for verses at the end of the show is going to be, I think, a little piece of that. So she's going to do the break for verses, which is very exciting. And yeah, I mean, we've known each other for a very long time. So without further ado, it is welcome, Sadie.
Hi, I'm the daughter, the 15-year-old, the coolest one. Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. So I had like listed small talk and silliness, but I don't, it's like 9 o'clock at night when we're recording this. And there was like a lot of work that went into getting the two mics set up and getting everything ready. And so I wish I had a picture of.
Yeah.
How Sadie's sitting right now.
It seems like it would be easy, like just put us in the same room talking, but that's not how audio works.
Right. So we're like closed off. I'm in a closet.
Yeah.
Sadie's in my room, and we're hoping that our dog doesn't lose his mind at some point in the podcast, but
we'll edit that in post.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So the first question, I have a series of questions. I've never interviewed somebody on Throwing Light, so you are my guinea pig.
That's fun.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself, your own intro. How would you describe yourself?
Well, I think when you first meet me, you won't know my age. I've heard, what year are you in? And at the point, I didn't know what that meant. And what it meant was college. And I was like, no.
Yeah, that's scary as your mom, too.
Yeah, it really is. But I would describe myself as an artist in every sense of the word.
Hmm.
And one of my friends just recently made me realize that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the way that you present yourself to the world, the clothes you wear, you even like write on yourself. Like,
yeah,
literally.
Next year, I'm gonna wear a sticker on my face every day.
The story behind that is when I was going into 10th grade, the transition between 9th and 10th grade was kind of like a transformational time for me. And I wanted to do something to set myself apart and to, I guess, make a statement. And so what I decided to do was, I don't know where I got them, but somebody bought me like this pack of little tiny stickers. Yeah, so I decided to wear a sticker on my face every single day. And Sadie told me a couple of weeks ago that she wanted to do the same thing and follow in my footsteps. So I'm very proud. You know, it's a proud mom moment.
I'm going to go all out for picture day.
Yeah. And you said porcelain doll for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to be like a pretty doll. I'm going to be like a creepy in your grandparents' attic, watches you while you sleep doll.
Ah, lovely. Okay.
It's my aesthetic.
Yes, it is. So, okay, so how would you describe me and our relationship?
I think I'll do this backwards. I would describe our relationship as like not a mother-daughter one. We obviously do have that relationship, mm-hmm. but we don't have that kind of dynamic sometimes. We have like a friend dynamic or a sister dynamic because so many people out and about think that Brooklyn's my kid, my mom's my sister, and Jermaine's my friend.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't help that for my listeners who have not. So Brooklyn is my son. He's about to be six. And Jermaine is, you probably heard me talk about him. He's the editor, producer of the podcast, but he's also my husband. And he looks, he's 35, but he looks like, no joke, like he's 18 years old. So Sadie looks older. And yeah. Jermaine looks younger. And so when we're all out together, I think it's very confusing. Like,
yeah.
Who is the adult in this?
But I mean, it's cool because like because of that, you're seen with my friends as like the cool mom. You're not cool all the time, but like.
That's true. Yeah.
You're seen as the cool mom because like I've heard all types of ways to describe you from my friends, but none of them have been negative.
Aww.
It's all been weird slang of cool.
That's probably got to be weird for you because you know that at least sometimes, maybe often, I'm not that chill.
Turns to my friend, whispers, she's not.
Yeah, especially when it comes to my kids.
Anyway.
Okay.
How I would describe you, calm, collected in every situation that involves people except for her family.
Interesting. Yeah.
But it's great.
Aw.
If I didn't have you as a mom, I would be a lot more closeted with everything that I am. Like this episode would not be called My Daughter the Atheist.
Okay, so this is called My Daughter the Atheist, and the reason that we kind of conceptualized this particular interview and, like, conversation was because we do have different religious and spiritual beliefs. And so tell me about your religious beliefs or lack thereof, and if you want, tell me the story of how you arrived at what you believe today.
Okay. Sorry, I was stretching.
Gearing up.
Let's go. Rev up your engines. Anyway, so the story is not like a... Is the saying cut and dry?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it's not a cut and dry type thing. It happened gradually. Hmm. It wasn't like I was a Christian and then the next day I was an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever really seen it happen like that in the atheist community.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in seventh grade, it was late at night and I was like researching because when I'm bored, I tend to research topics that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching videos on this channel called Lacey Green. And I was watching about feminism and sex positivity and stuff like that. And I don't know about her views now. I haven't really kept up with her. But I was watching some of her videos. And she said in one of them, she mentioned that she was an atheist. And my first reaction was, what? I had to look that up. I didn't know at all what it meant. And I didn't even know that people could be atheist. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you could live without a deity. And then I trailed off of the sex stuff and I went into...
Okay, that's good.
Anyway, it was like telling you how to have safe sex. So it's good times. But I trailed off that and I went into atheism because I was so intrigued. And this person talking about how he was an atheist and how it just made more sense to him to be an atheist, agnostic atheist, to be a little more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how he used to be like a full-on theist, like all of the Bible is true and everything about it is right. And then I watched a couple of his videos, but he was very, like, aggressive. Then I went to this other YouTuber called Jacqueline Glenn, and she got her point across a little more clearly. And then I decided to become a deist. So I was a deist for a little bit.
Hmm.
I believed in a god, but I didn't believe in the Bible at all.
Hmm.
Yes, God is up there. Nothing in the Bible is true. A couple days after that, I was like, it makes a lot more sense to just go atheist.
Hmm.
That's how it happened. It was just kind of like a gradual change.
Mm-hmm. As you're like thinking about it all.
Yeah. And my friends, most of my friends,
mm-hmm.
were atheists. And they were openly atheist. So I was very confused as to why everyone I gravitated towards was an atheist.
Mm.
And once they started explaining it to me, it made more sense to be an atheist. So that's how that happened.
Mm-hmm. Just like logically.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've been discriminated?
Yeah, but not in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, because I'm not really open about it as much. Online, I'm definitely harassed a lot.
Hmm.
So there were a lot of people when I was a deist and I was leaning more towards atheist.
Hmm.
There were atheists. I commented on a post and was like, I'm a deist, leaning more toward atheism. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There were Christians commenting, saying like, don't worry, you'll see the light and let God back into your life.
Mm.
I also saw, don't worry, you'll snap out of it and you'll be an atheist and you'll see logic.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides, from both sides, that was really like, where can I go? Because they're both snapping at me.
Yeah. Maybe offline.
Yeah.
People are crazy online.
Yeah.
So how do you feel these beliefs have affected or shaped your relationship with Jermaine and myself?
Well, I've had to realize a lot of things. One of the biggest things that I've had to realize, being an atheist and having a Christian family that accepts me, lets me stay in their house. One of the things that I've had to understand is that your views and my views on things other than religion will be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to understand that I'm not going to agree with everyone I'm friends with or everyone that's in my family.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the thing about relationships is both parties are at some point going to say something that is not helpful or is hurtful to the other person. But I think that's how we grow together and separately.
Yeah.
By working it out in real time. So you and I think it was last summer, we did like a sermon together and we talked a little bit about this topic and our relationship and our different beliefs.
Yeah.
But most people who listen to this podcast know that I don't know that I would call myself a Christian in the strictest sense, but I go to church and I have found the church that we go to is very open and non-judgmental. And we've been going there since you kind of were coming to this realization.
Yeah.
And you have always kind of wanted to go to church.
Yeah.
So the next question is, why do you think that is and why do you still want to go?
Mostly it's because of my friends there, and there's donuts at the church.
Yeah.
Sometimes we talk about interesting topics.
Mm.
Sometimes I don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think it's easy to feel like just going for your friends is not like a quote-unquote real reason or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, community is a thing.
Yeah.
And having people who you connect with is important.
Definitely.
So, yeah, so I'm interested in this next question. We can kind of break it down. So there's two questions. Where do you believe goodness comes from and where do you believe evil comes from?
I'm going to answer this in a general sense first.
Okay. And I guess, let me back that up, because I guess I'm assuming that you believe that evil and good exist.
I was just about to get into that.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Edit that out in post, Jermaine. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Okay.
I'm going to answer these two questions in a general sense first, and then get into my personal beliefs.
Okay.
I don't believe that good and evil exists.
Hmm.
I believe it's from society to society, culture to culture, even sometimes state to state. I don't believe that there's an absolute good and evil. I believe that there are some things that are widely accepted as evil, but I don't think that there's like an absolute.
Mm.
I think good and evil come from the way you think a situation should be handled.
Mm.
I believe that being a good person is being a helpful person. And I think evil comes from the opposite of that. Not necessarily thinking only about yourself, because I don't think that that's evil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think selfishness is evil. I don't think it's inherently good, but I don't think it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy topic, solitary confinement. I believe that anyone who knows what solitary confinement is, what it can do to the body and the mind, anyone who knows that and continues to think that it's okay to do, I think that person is evil.
Hmm.
So it's different things, and it could be different for everyone.
Hmm.
So I don't believe in absolutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting. Part of me is like recording this podcast, and the other part of me is your mom, like, oh my God, that was such a good like answer.
Oh, mom.
Jermaine was joking before we started saying that I was a stage mom, but I don't think that – I was, like, worried about your safety. That's not a stage – anyway.
Once I start my YouTube channel, you'll be a stage mom.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so if there was someone listening to this and – they found themselves in the same boat, realizing like, oh, you don't have to believe in a God.
Yeah.
And they were scared to tell their family or their friends. What would you say to them?
So I've thought about this for a little bit, and I've looked around for answers that I could give.
Mm-hmm.
And the most logical for me is to assess the situation as it is right now.
Hmm.
If you're scared to tell your parents or your family that you're an atheist and you have a feeling or you think or you've seen it before that they have adverse reactions to that sort of news, I believe that you should not tell them.
Mm.
Kind of just go with the flow, especially if you're a kid living in their house. If you're in a situation where you could be kicked out or something,
mm-hmm.
That's scary. I would say assess the situation. Any type of big revelation that you have, like being gay, being an atheist, being even a different religion than your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Will your parents have a bad reaction to it? Bad enough to put you in danger? If that may be the case, maybe wait until you're in a stable environment or you have a plan B just in case something bad happens. So you're not broken because your family is not accepting you and in a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you would have to hide that from people you hold dear, but if it makes you safer, I think it's worth it.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting. I may have told you this, but I had an opposite experience when I was your age. I didn't go to church growing up.
Yeah.
And my dad has just always kind of been a pretty adamant atheist. And my mom is a Christian, but we never went to church. And when I grew up in a really small town, so I wanted to start going to church because all of my friends went, and I didn't want to feel left out. So I used to actually get in fights. So two things. I used to get in fights with my mom about my budding beliefs that felt like a different kind of Christianity than what she experienced, believed.
Uh-huh.
But I also, the church that I went to was very adamant that if you didn't believe in Jesus or God, then you would go to hell. And that was terrifying for me because my dad didn't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're describing kind of feels like that destructive religion.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, like, I think everybody is allowed to believe what they truly believe, but
yeah,
I guess I would encourage them to find somebody that they could tell.
Yeah.
So do you have any questions for me?
What do you believe goodness and evil comes from? Where do you believe?
Ooh, good questions. I wasn't prepared for you to have questions.
Heh.
So I take a, let me just see if I can answer this in somewhat of a coherent way, because a lot of what I believe, I find it hard to describe because it lives in my head. Like it hasn't.
Yeah.
And I thought deeply about it, but I haven't. It's difficult to articulate sometimes. But I believe, I think that we all have the capacity for goodness, like Mother Teresa type. Like not everybody's supposed to be Mother Teresa. Our unique full life. We also have the capacity to not. And a lot of it for me goes back to like what I think of as our calling or our purpose. I kind of have this, Plato had this, he suggests that we like picked our circumstances before we got here. And I see all of the problems that come with that and all of the possibilities that come with that. And so I'm very interested in that idea. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know that I would hang my hat on that, but I think about it a lot. And I think that at the end of the day, I think goodness and evil comes from inside of us because I believe that God or the divine spark or the heartbeat of the universe lives in each of us and lives in air. It's in the animals. It's in the plants. And so
yeah,
we as humans, we're able to do more stuff than like a plant is able to do. With that comes the ability to be really destructive.
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe in hell, but I believe in like living hell. I believe you can kind of
make your own.
Well, you can make your own.
Make your own hell. Right at right. home.
But also like there are places on Earth where the situation is really dire and that is hellish.
Yeah.
I think those of us who aren't in those situations have the opportunity and the responsibility to help those people get out of hell to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
And that's where I really differ on your, so you were saying not caring is
it's not completely evil.
Yeah. So I've heard there's a quote, I can't think of who it is, but like the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy.
Hmm.
And I think that
I can agree with that on some levels.
Hmm.
I agree with that on some points with like the opposite of love being apathy.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense because hate is, I believe, a form of caring.
Hmm.
And love is a form of caring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hate is like in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
Because you can go from loving someone to hating someone, but you can't really go from loving someone to apathetic. So I agree with that, unless you're about to say that that's evil.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we do disagree on that point, and I'm not saying that I'm right.
Right.
The counter argument to my, to what I believe is, well, what's going on in the world today with neo-Nazis?
Yeah.
They're not apathetic, and that's evil, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Right.
So are there any questions that you were hoping that I would ask?
Wait, I have one more question.
Oh.
For you. Do you believe in absolutes? Like absolute good and absolute evil?
Absolute good and absolute evil.
Something that's universal.
In what context?
Do you believe that some things are evil and they should be evil everywhere, and some things mm-hmm. are good and should be good everywhere?
Hmm. I definitely believe that good and evil varies by culture. I don't know what I would call that, but like, I think there are definitely things that people of different cultures would do that I wouldn't do, but I don't consider that evil. So I took this class last semester and I had my professor. So in college, everything gets really beautifully relativistic. Everybody's like, all the cultures are good. And, you know,
yeah.
And she kind of went on this rant, female circumcision. So she went on this rant about, so basically there's no medical benefit. There's no medical benefit to male circumcision either.
Yeah.
With female circumcision, they take away the ability to have an orgasm.
What?
It's supposed to be like to keep women, girls pure and without like quote unquote evil thoughts, but it's purely evil.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So to me, that is an evil practice. Some cultures might find it acceptable, but I don't. I don't know if that's like answering your question of absolute evil. I do believe that some people get it, like get their purpose, their goodness on a really deep level throughout history. So like, I think Jesus did. I think people like Mother Teresa and Gandhi did. And if we allow ourselves to learn from them, they can teach us about our own good.
Hmm. Yeah.
So any other questions for me?
No, I couldn't think okay. of anymore.
Okay. So are there any questions that you wanted me to ask that you were hoping that I would ask?
No. You kind of covered everything. About atheism, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would love to have you back on the podcast at a later date to talk about other topics. So I think this is like the first of, you know, it was a really good conversation, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so thank you guys for listening. I hope that this was interesting. And thank you, Sadie, for coming on to the podcast. Yeah. So here it is. Your...
Oh, wait. How long, how short does this have to be?
If it's too long, Jermaine will probably edit some of it out.
Okay.
But it, I would say 1 to 3 to 4 minutes is okay. Fine. But I gotta say
I didn't have time to pick
okay.
what it was, so.
So I'm just gonna say the thing, and then you can take however long you need to, like, get it ready. Yeah, so here it is, your break for verses.
Let me just, give me a moment. Hello, I'm the narrator. I'm going to guide you through this story. I'm going to make sure you don't get lost. Now, you must be wondering what this story is about. I'm going to tell you. This story is about 7 people, conflicting stories, and how they all work together. They have mostly known each other since childhood, and are all, mostly, really close. Now, what I mean by mostly is, well, you're just going to have to see. Hello, this is the first story in the timeline in my book series. I'm the narrator. I hope you enjoy. This is where some of the characters get to meet each other. Heyo, it's me again, the narrator. Now, I've introduced most of the characters so far, and now you must be wondering where the last couple of them are. Unless you're super smart and figured they're in here. Which, if that was you, you're right. The last two are right here.
Thank you for listening. I am honored and grateful. I would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes because it does fancy things with the algorithm and it helps me reach more people. As always, the show notes for this episode can be found at brandyglows.com. If you have any questions or an idea for a future show, you can tweet me at brandyglows or email me at brandyglows@gmail.com.